on Hei Benachem Av is the yard site of the Arizal, and I would like this year to be L'Refuah Shleima for Brian Boaz Ben Esther, whose grandfather actually was an expert in the writings of the Arizal. He was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of the Mekubalim, along with all the other sick and infirmed in Israel. L'Refuah Shleima Yeshua Hashem Keherafayim. In Siman Memvav, the Torah writes as follows. I mean, I could have put a couple of dots here before, if that would make you happier. Od bracha achad, which means aside from all the other brachot that we say in the morning, the brachot ha-shachar, od bracha achad, yesh besidurei Ashkenaz, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, hanotein le'yoyev koach. So he says that there's one more bracha, aside from all of the other brachot, and that is that, it's very interesting the way that he frames it. He says that this, it's found in the Sidurim. Now, there are other places it could have been found. For example, some of the other brachot that we just now skipped over are found in the Gemara, which means among the brachot HaShachar are a whole bunch of them that are found in the Talmud Bavli. So when he's saying that this bracha is found in the Sidurei Ashkenaz, he's actually telling us something as opposed to being found in the list of the in the Bavli with all the other brachot. And he says, V'nitkaneh al sha'adam mafkid nishmato be'erev b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. And then he gives the whole reason for saying such a bracha, which is all very nice, except, of course, there's a problem. The problem is that it's not in the Gemara. A little later on, he says, V'al pi ha-midrash, and then he quotes a midrash which seems to support, although it doesn't say it explicitly. The midrash that he is referring to, in source number 2, there's a verse, a pasuk in Eicha, Chazdei Hashem ki lo tamnu, ki lo chalu rachamav, chadashim libkarim rabba amunatecha. So chadashim libkarim, we become, God's compassion doesn't end, and in the morning there is this newness, and we have this great faith. We go to sleep at night, and we wake up in the morning, hopefully. So the Midrash, in source number 3, quotes this and says, L'matzeich b'neginot, Mizmashir Elokim Yechanenu V'Yivarchenu, and we bless. And then it goes, Zehu Sha'amar Katuv Chasdei Hashem Ki Lo Tamnu Rachamav, and he goes on to quote the rest of the pasuk as well in the morning. Now, it didn't actually say, and therefore there's a bracha, but it kind of hints that it's a good thing to bless God for getting up in the morning, and we'll leave it at that. Now, if one were astute, one could point out, well, there may be other brachot that actually bless God for getting up in the morning. And why do I necessarily need this one? Meaning, what is Hanotein Le'yoyev Koach? What does that have to do with getting up in the morning? There are other brachot that may well have covered it. Nonetheless, what we sense from the Torah is this is the Menag of Ashkenaz. It's in the Sidur Ashkenaz, and it has some kind of a defense to it because perhaps there is a midrash that at least hints at it. The Beit Yosef in source number 4, Beit Yosef, of course, of Yosef Karo, says, he quotes, Od bracha achad yesh b'sidur Ashkenaz notein le'yoyev koach, b'nitkana al shadam mafkid nishmato be'erev, and he quotes the Torah. Af al pi sheyesh smach yafeh l'varech bracha zu, even though there's a good hint to it, or support of it, me'yachash lo nizkar b'talmud, eini yodea eicha yarashut l'shum adam l'takna. He goes, nonetheless, being that it's not found in the Talmud, now that seems to be a rule that he, and he's not making this up, and others have embraced, that we only say brachot that are found in the Talmud. So it's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Talmud Bavli, so, and the Yerushalmi, by the way. So then who in the world would have made up such a thing? How can you just make it up? Umatzati shekatava agur shera'a mikatrigim aleh mitamze. And I've seen that there are Rishonim already or object to somebody having made this up. V'ramam v'asmak v'arokeach lo iskiruah v'ochinaktinan. And there's a whole bunch of Rishonim who don't bring it, and that's what we do. We don't say it. On the other hand, the Ramah writes in source number 5, v'linira de'al yishan adem in amenag. It's in the Sidur Ashkenaz. This is our custom. And we follow the custom. Now, this actually, if we had wanted to, we could have used this as a snapshot to try to understand the entire difference between the Ramah and between the Beit Yosef, whereby the Beit Yosef looks at certain Rishonim who are his go-to, and then he goes the majority of these Rishonim, whereby the Ramah, more often than not, is not impressed with which Rishonim the Beit Yosef can bring, because he says, this is Menag Ashkenaz, we follow our Minhag. And it's almost as if to say that if we were to abandon our minhag, then we are really challenging the piety of earlier generations. And the assumption is they knew what they were doing. So therefore, the fact that it's found in Siddur Ashkenaz, that he's saying it's good enough for my father, good enough for my grandfather, it's good enough for me, and why should I even give a hint that they may have done something which was inappropriate? So essentially, we have this conflict between the two. The Bach, who seems to understand that this is a problem, that it's not in the Talmud, because, you know, there are those who attack because they're not in the Gemara. And then he throws out a possibility. Perhaps it was in the Gemara. Perhaps there are some people that had it in their girsa in the Gemara. Now, I don't know if he actually found some kind of manuscript that had it, or he's guessing. Which means, if there's a principle, you don't say a bracha that's not in the Gemara. And we say the bracha, so what must be the logical conclusion? Must be that it was in the Gemara. So therefore, the argument would be between one Ketav Yad and the other Ketav Yad, between one manuscript and the other manuscript. Now, I don't know that he brought any evidence to this, as much as what he's really doing is saying that the question is too strong. How could somebody have made this up? No one could have made this up. So then what's the answer? It must have been in the Gemara. We don't find it in the Gemara. Okay, so it must have been a Giras in the Gemara that we no longer have. So now what you realize is that the Bach just went out on a limb to defend it, and he is defending it. But can he really bring evidence, empirical evidence? Well, not exactly. The Shulchan Aruch should be of no surprise to us. Source number 7. Yesh nogin levarecha noten liyav koach, let's the machaber, ve'ein divreim nirim. There are those who have a custom of saying it, and it does not seem to be correct. The Rama writes, ach minog poshut b'vnei Ashkenazim la'omra. But the custom among Ashkenazim is to say it. Incidentally, it's not the only brach of the Berachot HaShachar. Sha'asani kirtzono, that women say, I assume they say, is also not found in the Gemara. So one can say the same thing over there. So who exactly made this up? Now, all of this would have been, you know, fine, typical argument, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, Machaber, Ramah, all of this would have been fine, except for one thing. And that's what happens in source number 8. Source number 8 is the Shara Kavanot. The Shara Kavanot was written by Chaim Vital, one of the primary students of the Arizal. And he writes from the Arizal, Birkata Natin Leov Koach Nachon Laomra. Vihi Achad mi Yudchet mi Mishmanasre Brachot Ha'elu Shetiknu Kodim Hatfila. And this is one of the 18 blessings that we say before davening, which means early in the morning, Birchot HaShachar. The Afal Pisha Yesh Megam Gamin Bidavar, and even though there are those who stutter, literally, that they say all kinds of things about it, Bidavar Zeh. He says, nonetheless, it's appropriate to say it, and certainly once I explain to you what the secret, the mystical reason for it is. Now, I'm not going to go into the mystical reason, because that doesn't concern me right now. Anyone who wants to can go look at the sources and follow through the Shara Kavanot. He sees this in terms of the returning of the soul and much more into their other spiritual elements which are taking place, but leave that. But we just now had something which was interesting. We had an argument, Ashkenazim versus Sfaradim. It's a custom of Ashkenazim. By the way, if you want to be a little cynical, you can say that the Arizal was an Ashkenazi, right? Ashkenazi, Rabbeinu Yitzchak. There's a question what the Aleph stands for in the Ari. Some says Eloki, the godly. Some says Adonenu. Some say it's Ashkenazi, Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, his father was Ashkenazi. He grew up in Yerushalayim. His father died when he was young. He moved to Egypt, where he lived with an uncle, and he ended up studying there and learning there and teaching there and writing there. He was a student, among others, of Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi, who was the author of the collector of the Shita Mekubetzet. And the Arizal actually was the collator of the Shita Mekubetzet on Masechet Me'ilah. You take a look in Me'ilah, you'll see it's Rav Yitzchak Ashkenazi. It's the Ari, is the one who did that. That volume, which, by the way, is very interesting. The Arizal was quite competent in all areas of Judaism. He wasn't just a Mekubal who knew how to write, you know, incantations. He was somebody who was well versed in Gemara and Rishonim, and so on and so forth. At some point later on, according to tradition, he had what was called a Giloy Eliyahu in Egypt, who told him to go move to Israel, and he had a student waiting for him, Chaim Vital, who he was going to give over his teachings to. As far as I recall, he only moved to Israel when he was 34 years old, and he lived there for less than 2 years. And all the things we know about the Ari are really based on those less than 2 years of conversations with Chaim Vital. So what happens when the great Kabbalist, the Ari, says that you do say it? So I'll say it again. One, you can say, who cares that he said it? He's also Ashkenazi. His father, Siddur, also had it. So what's those? No, but he said that there's mystical reason to say it. And he attacks those who are migamgen, those who don't speak clearly, those who don't understand, which means those who don't say it, he thinks have an incredible disadvantage because they don't understand what's going on. And there are deep mystical reasons, which are spelled out later on from Chaim Vital. Therefore, someone like the Magen Avraham could write the Ein Devarim Nirim, quoting the Beit Yosef, the Mechaber, in the Shulchan Aruch, saying that the reason to say it doesn't seem to make sense. Uv'Knesset Agdola, one of the commentaries, Katav Chacham Echad, he id shechazar harav Beit Yosef, b'sof yamav, v'tziva la'omro b'shemu malchut. And he says that there is a rumor that some rabbi said that the Beit Yosef, now, by the way, let's just follow the logic now. We don't know what happened. We were not there when the Beit Yosef recanted, or supposedly recanted, but we do know something else. We know that the Arizal strongly attacks anybody who doesn't say it. So now you have a different problem. How could it possibly be that a great rabbi like the Beit Yosef doesn't say it, or Yosef Karo doesn't say it, so now we have a rumor, of course the Beit Yosef said it, he recanted. Why did he recant? Well, it doesn't exactly say over here. He recanted. Not only did he say to say it, he said you have to say it b'shem u'malchut. V'ani machiti shelo l'shanot min hakadmonim l'omro, b'lo shem u'malchut, ad kad l'shono. And I protested that not to change the custom, the early custom to say it, b'lo shem u'malchut, u'v'kavonot, that's the book of the Arizal, katav l'omro, v'kach katav v'bach v'asmag. And nonetheless, in the Bach and the Smag, it does say that one should say it. What's important about the Magen Avraham is now you realize that everything has gotten more complicated, including rumors, recanted. We no longer know what Rav Yosef Karo did. Source number 10 is the Pri Chadash. This is also a Sephardic Rav, fairly early. Hanoten Leov Koach, Po Yerushalayim, Nitpasheta Minhag Omro, Al Pi Kitvei Shel Harav HaKadosh, Mari Ashkenazi Zal. Over here in Yerushalayim, the custom is to say it, just like the Arizal said. And again, the source in the Shar Kava note. Zulati, except for me. Zulati k'tzat yechidim she'enom rimoto v'ani echad mehem. Except there are a couple of individuals who don't say it, and I'm one of them. The Birkei Yosef, who is the Chida. And again, he's going to have a problem. He's a Mekubal. Now, what I want to go back and really start now to explain a larger issue. We have the authority of Rav Yosef Karo and of the Shulchan Aruch. There are those who will claim, like Rav Adi Yosef, that he is the final arbiter, that whatever Rav Yosef Karo said, that is what halacha is for Sfaradim, for all Sfaradim. The thing is what happens, like, as far as we know, without the rumors, without the recantation, we have a problem, is that what happens when the Beit Yosef, who himself, by the way, was a Mekubal, goes head-to-head with the Arizal? Who wins out? Does the Arizal win out, or does the Beit Yosef win out? Now, that may be a function of who you're going to ask. So the Chida, the Birkei Yosef, who understands exactly what's going on over here, and he's also a Mekubal, he writes, Yesh nogin levarech anoten liyav korach. And he quotes the Mechaber saying, and doesn't seem to make sense. Ata, now, nitpasheta minhag b'galilotenu levarech zot abracha. And now the custom is absolutely to say it. Alpi kitvei rabbeinu ha'ari zatzal, based upon the Ari. The Ari said to say it, everyone says it. Ki afti kibalnu hora'ot maran, even though we've accepted upon ourselves the rulings of Rav Yosef Karo, kimlan, we nonetheless have a tradition, di ilmoli maran, af hu ra'adat kadosh ha'ari zatzal, gam hu yare lebracha. That had Rav Yosef Karo had been aware of what the Arizal said. By the way, we don't know if he was or he wasn't. Just that, I say that as an aside. Had he known that the Arizal said not just to say it, but to say it with a bracha, he certainly would have done it as well. Umagam shekatav Rav Knesset Agdol de ikamande shama de hadar be maran b'sof yamav. And not only that, we have a rumor that Rav Yosef Karo recanted, and therefore the Beit Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really reflect what he really believed in his final opinion, and therefore v'cheinu ra'oi lenhog, and therefore our custom should be like the Arizal, but delokya Rav Pri Chadash, and not like the Pri Chadash who told us that he, you know, held out against this custom. So again, now you realize that we have a problem, and the problem is really going to be the supremacy. Who wins out? Rav Yosef Karo wins out, or the Arizal wins out? I'm going to add another point over here, why this is all not simple. I think it's fairly well known that when it comes to a topic like women saying a bracha on a mitzvah aseh shezman grama, for example, a woman wants to pick up a lulav and enter garaminim and say a bracha on it, Ashkenazim say, fine, say a bracha. It's perfectly valid. On the other hand, you'll find that Sfaradim saying, no, absolutely not. She can't say the bracha. Now, what exactly is the issue? Part of it is really a side point. Whether saying a bracha in such a case is a bracha levatala, a birchat shav, or taking God's name in vain, or not. According to the Ramah, that saying a bracha, even if you're not obligated, because it's a custom even, is legitimate. So, for example, Ashkenazim will say a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Sfaradim won't. Sfaradim will say, if it's not in the Gemara that we have to say it, so then it's a bracha levatala. So it's essentially following Rabbeinu Tam versus the Rambam, or the Rambam versus Rabbeinu Tam, what constitutes a birchat shav, or taking God's name in vain. The Rambam will say even saying a bracha by custom, which is not obligatory, is taking God's name in vain, while Rabbeinu Tam, and then the Rambam following Rabbeinu Tam, will say, no, that's not God's name in vain. So therefore, a woman can say a bracha, even though it's mitzvah to say shezman gurma, because she's saying a bracha to God, so that's perfectly fine. So over here, for the Birkat Yosef to kind of cut all through all of this and say, well, had Rav Yosef Karo heard that the Arizal said to say it, he certainly would have said it. That's not so simple. Maybe he would have said it without God's name. But again, if he thinks it's not an obligation, then as far as he's concerned, his way of ruling, I would even say, even if the Arizal says you should say it, he's going to say, what are you talking about? That's if you follow Rabbeinu Tam, not if you follow the Rambam. And I follow the Rambam, so how can I say a bracha if I'm not obligated to say the bracha? This bracha is not of the Gemara. How can you possibly say it? So I'm just pointing out that all of this is a little more complicated. Nonetheless, the Birkei Yosef is so convinced that, of course, how could somebody not follow the Arizal? In source number 12, which are notes on the Birkei Yosef, it brings a little bit more, which I think will help us. He writes as well, Uvitov Ayin, which is another book of the Chida, Umitam Katav Sheitachen Sheacher Ptirat Ari Shemam Arandato Ulechen Chazarbo Ayin Sham. He goes a little further. The Chida says, oh, and maybe after the Arizal died, maybe then first Rav Yosef Karo heard about it. Kiyotz B'zakatav B'marita Ayin B'likutim B'sofo Simin Yud Aleph Od Zayin Dehecha Shorabeinu Ari Katav Hefech Maran Yesh Lasot K'masha Katav Ari. That the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, is actually quite consistent. He believed that we always will follow the Arizal and not Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo is good 6 days a week when he argues with everybody else. But if it's against the Arizal wins. K'masha Katav Kan B'Birkei Yosef. And it's the same thing that he says over here, but he's a little stronger over there, that no, the Ari wins. Uvesefer Ptacha Dvir Katav Sharabeinu Lo Hichriya Ka'ari Elmei Shekein Hichriya Kama Poskim Ve'edut Shemaran Chazarbo Ayin Sham. And there are those who claim that the Birkei Yosef here, the Chida, only said it in this case because there were others who supported saying it. He goes, Ach B'Marita Ayin, in the other book that he wrote, V'tov Ayin Anal Mochach Shekavanat Rabbeinu L'smoch Smichat Rabati Ala Rizal Bechol Davar Ayin Sham. He goes, that's not really the case. If you've got other writings of the Chida, not just over here, then you'll become convinced that he believes that you always follow the Ari, and it doesn't make a difference what Rav Yosef Karo said. Again, Rav Pilim, Vidashim Esorati, we have a tradition. Shesodot Gila Ha'arizatzal Hakol Hayami Mashalamad Im Eliyahu Navi. That we have a tradition that everything that the Arizal said was based upon the revelation of Eliyahu that he received. V'lo yachil sechel enosh. And none of this is normal human logic. Kakatov Rabbeinu B'chaim Sha'al v'od mekomot. And he goes on to say, v'amed she'ein tzarech lefarsem kol zeh lahomanim, v'yesh gam tanachem she'adukim b'pshat shelo yazuzu. So again, he ends up saying that people can certainly or should certainly follow the Arizal. At the very end, he writes, it's not really there, by the way. And in cases like this, lo b'shamayim, he doesn't apply. And when he says, don't worry, lo b'shamayim, he doesn't apply, you realize, wow, that's a really good point. Why doesn't lo b'shamayim, he apply? Which means just because the Eliyahu HaNavi may have taught the Arizal certain things, does that mean that we follow him every case? Don't we have a principle, lo b'shamayim? So what's in, it's actually not Tav Resh Nun Gimel, it's Nun Dalet. And ironically, it's about women taking Arba Minim. And he writes, B'shut Yosef Omer, Kotev Rabbeinu, Nahagti Lomar L'Nashim, Sheivirchu Alulav, Kiminat Kadusha, you know, Gota Nashim, Be'er HaKadosh Yerushalayim, Shekenu Shivu L'ri Mirvach Min, that this is the Sheol Teshuvah Min, that asks the question, hold it, who's right? Rabbeinu Tam is right or the Rambam is right? Can women make a bracha on Mitzvot Atzeh Shezman Gorma? And the answer that he gets Min HaShemayim in this Sheol Teshuvah Min is yes. So once that's the case, so then that became the Minhag Yerushalayim, that we follow Sheol Teshuvah Min. We follow spiritual things. And then he writes, "Shalosh shayich loma b'zelo b'shamayim." He kaven she'ein b'yadenu korach la'achria bein arishonim ve'einanu osim kafi havanatenu b'torah el osim derech pshara v'mkein nachon yoter la'sot ki aposkim she'eskimu amam bina shamayim ein sham v'hisfarag dola. What did he say? The principle of lo b'shamayim, he means you don't blindly accept something because someone says, "I heard this from heaven." That's blindly. What if there's a legitimate machloket down here on earth, in this case between the Rambam and Beinu Tam? You know what? Those are pretty good adversaries in the sense that they're both absolutely world-class in their time, the leading poskim of their respective places where they lived, and those are very fair adversaries. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam are, again, the top of what we have. So when Min HaShamayim, we're told, oh, Rabbeinu Tam is right in this case, it's not what we're abandoning logic. If not, we're doing something which makes no sense. It's the way that we broke the tie because we had no idea how to break the tie. So he's saying that's not a problem of lo b'shamayim. By the way, let me just go a little further with the same thought or the same principle. When you had Beit Hillel, anybody who read my book, in the Crowns of Letters, I cite this, that when it comes to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, here we have a batkal that says halacha kebeit Hillel, and we follow it. When, on the other hand, we have a batkal coming and saying the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, then Rabbi Yeshua says lo b'shamayim. So why is that the case? Well, either it should always be that we follow a batkal, or we never do. So Tosfot asks the question, and Tosfot answers that a batkal can't tell you to go against the principle of Torah. One of the principles of Torah is you follow the majority. Over here, the majority is Beit Hillel and not Beit Shammai, so then you can listen to the bat kol. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer was a yachid against the rabbim, so you don't listen to an individual against the rabbim, so in such a case, you can't listen to the bat kol. So again, over here, we have an argument between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, so how do in the world are we supposed to know who's right? So we have a tshuva min haShemayim saying follow Rabbeinu Tam. So that's not a problem of lo b'shamayim. That's a problem of Shemayim telling us which among the two opinions we should embrace. So he goes on, and he has a lot more to say over here, and we'll leave the rest. But I think that we understand the general gist of things. Towards the bottom here of page 3, he brings this opinion that we heard a little bit before. V'harei Rabbeinu Ha'ari, Zecher, Tzadik, and so on, Eliyahu Hanavi Lamdu Kol Sfeikotav, V'chriya Mikoach Ze Me'ot Halachot, V'nitkavlu B'Bate Midrash B'Kol Yisrael B'Chil V'Ada, that the Arizal learned from Eliyahu all kinds of Torah. He goes further to say, a little bit further, V'ein Matzoy Klal She'yichadesh Ha'ari Shum Halacha Neged Kol HaPoskim. The Ari doesn't go against everybody. Ela Dafka B'Mekomot She'nechlaku, only, but in cases where it's not clear which side we should follow, there he solves it by telling us which of the sides we should take. Or sometimes the Arizal will show that both sides are really correct. So again, what he's really trying to get to is that it's not a problem of lo b'shamayim, it's rather clarifying what the halacha is. Okay. The Gra resolves all of this, and he writes in source 15, Yesh Nogim. So now he's explaining the Mechaber. He says there's some who say to say it. Tor v'alpia midrash. So again, if the problem is hold, it's not on the Gemara, but yeah, it's the Torah based on the Midrash, which he seems to be supportive of, and that seems to be okay. On the other hand, the Mechaber ends up not to say it. De'ein l'chadesh bracha achar ha-Gemara, because you can't make up new brachot after the Gemara. K'mashe katav Arash, v'perikam v'kedushin. But on the other hand, the Rama writes, next line, acha minhag is to say it. K'mashe katav v'Yerushalmi, as it says in the Yerushalmi. Now the Yerushalmi doesn't say to say this bracha. What do the Yerushalmi say? Yerushalmi says that we follow our customs. U'v'mesechet sofrim. Minhag oker halacha. Now that phrase, those three words, probably needs to be studied and learnt in context by themselves. What does it mean, minhag oker halacha? If most Jews drive to the beach on Shabbos, that's their minhag, so now I can get rid of Shabbos, that's not what it means. Minhag oker halacha means that if I have what I think is a halacha, on the other hand, nice from Jews do things a little differently, we are not to assume that the nice from Jews are wrong, but rather Jewish practice is an indication of what Jewish law is. So I'll say that again. Jewish practice is an indication of Jewish law is, and we don't want to say, let's say in this example where we make this particular bracha, we don't want to go and say, well, guess what? The Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, they shouldn't say the bracha, so therefore generations upon generations of Ashkenazi Jews who had this in their siddur are all wrong, rip out that page, rip out that bracha, because he's Paskin that you don't say it. Well, no, that we follow our minhag. So therefore, look what the Gra just now did. On the one hand, the Gemara, we say, based on the Rush, you don't say a bracha that wasn't in the Gemara. On the other hand, the Gemara says that the minhag can get rid of the halacha. So the halacha is you don't say it, the minhag is that you do say it, so therefore the minhag, okay, halacha, wins out. So the Gra just did this old, you know, he must have used two thumbs when he said this. He pulled the one thumb one way, the other thumb the other way, and by the time he finishes, he goes, look, the Gemara says you should say it. Now, I can't believe if Rav Yosef Karo was sitting there, he would have gone for that, but nonetheless, look what happened. The Gra is satisfied. By the way, we'll see that there's going to be some contention with this, but in the Sidra HaGra, at least the couple of them that I looked at three, all of them have the Gra bringing down to say this bracha. There's one source that argues with this. We'll see if we get up to this. Moving on to the Kaf HaChaim. Now the Kaf HaChaim, again, is going to be a Sfardi authority who also is very sympathetic to Kabbalistic and sources generally, and their Rizal particularly. Yesh Noagim Levarech Hanotun Leav Koach Ve'ein Dever B'Nirim. Again, quoting the Mechaber. Haga Achaminuk Pashu B'nei Ashkenazim La'omra. V'kach Katzav B'Prietz Chaim Shar Tfila. Right, writings of the Ari, students of the Ari. And then he quotes all kinds of other places. V'katav HaRav Natan Shapira. There were actually two cousins with the same name, so I'm not sure which one this was. Essentially said, if the Arizal said it, then what? You're going to argue with the Arizal? Who you'd argue with the Arizal? Essentially embracing it. Yosef, which we saw earlier, right? That Arizal. Ki afti kabalnu maran, even though we accept the maran, Kimlan, and again we saw this before, the Ilmoli Maran Avhura Adat Kadosha Ari, had the Maran seen the Ari Zatzal, Gamhu Yodel Bracha. He would have backed down and he would have said it as again, and then he also then brings this persistent rumor that maybe he did hear about it and he did back down later on. Mandeshama de Hadrabe Maranzal Bisof Yamav. The sense that you're getting now is that anybody who's going to be supportive of Kabbalistic writings is essentially going to say to followers of Yosef Karo, you know, very nice, you know, again, you're the most important posek until we get up to the Arizal, and you can't argue with him. The Mishnah Berurah predictably is going to say it. Haminag Pashu v'chein iskimo achronim, most achronim say it. Certainly Ashkenazim say to say it, but we found now even a smattering of Sfaradim who are going to say it. Ratzaloma baskar shema malchut, v'afilum haya nirko alayla, that we say it, and then he goes into a case even if you stayed up at night. Source 19 makes mention of what I said before. Anashim b'rechot sani kirtzono. U'minag asfaridim v'rech brachazu b'lo shema malchut kevin shelo nizkara b'talmud. V'gam lo b'divrei ga'onim. V'chein v'tashem minag etal sfaridim. V'chelek mikilat ashkenazim shanashim amrot shelo asani goya. And so on. And again, the question becomes, what exactly is the correct nusach? And I'm not going to get into that because we won't get out of that so soon. In source 20, the Piskei Tshuva brings down, and this I don't understand, Mispar brachot ha-shachar kefi shenisdru gemara heim shmonasrei ki mispar ha-brachot shebetfilah shmonasrei. Ula achar chatimat ha-talmud hosifu ha-gaonim birkat anot ten liyof koach kenegin brachot shasrei shebetfilah shmonasrei. Now that's very nice. He says, why do we say 18 brachot ha-shachar kenegin the bracha of the shmonasrei? Why did they make a 19th? Because there's a 19th bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei. Now, that's all very nice, except it's not what the Arizal said. The Arizal said that this bracha, Anotin Lev Koach, is one of the 18. It's not the 19th. So what to do with all that, I'm not all that clear. Now, we're going to pause now, and we're going to look really, I think, at one more source, and that is Rav Avadya Yosef. But before we read Rav Avadya, when Ovadia was a young man, very young, when he was 17, he was asked to teach the Ben Ish Chai. And he taught it in the Shechonah Bukharim, one of the shuls there. He came in and he read it line by line. He read Ben Ish Chai says this, and then he argued with him. And he got fired almost immediately. He goes, who are you to argue with the Ben Ish Chai? Now, what did he do and why did he argue? And why? How could such a young man have such chutzpah? And I say that with respect. The answer is that Rav Yosef Karo was, as far as Ovadia Yosef concerned, the final arbiter of halacha for Sfaradim. And if Rav Yosef Karo said something, we do it. Now, what did the Ben Ish Chai do? He did what we should already suspect now based upon a whole bunch of sources we've seen. The Kaf HaChaim, the Chidah, and so on. What did they all do? They followed the Kabbalah. And if there was tension between Kabbalah and between halacha, between Kabbalah and between the Arizal, and between Yosef Karo, so they all followed the Arizal. Meaning, this is not an isolated case. This then happens a lot. The Zohar versus the Shulchan Aruch, you follow the Zohar. And as far as Rav Avadya was concerned, that's absolutely not correct. How can you go and just reject the Shulchan Aruch? How can you reject Rav Yosef Karo? So essentially, his approach was, ignore the Kabbalah, ignore the Ari, ignore the Zohar, and follow the Shulchan Aruch. So now, with that background, we can now read Rav Avadya in Source 22. This is dated, Por Yerkodesh Yerushalayim, Nish'alti b'din bracha mi'en sheva, im yesh l'omor b'lo pesach shechal yop b'shabbat, uv'din safek bracha lahakel neged ha'arizal. Which means, do we say safek bracha lahakel neged ha'arizal? So the Arizal says to say a bracha, and we've been dealing with an example like that, and the others say not to say it, so do I say safek bracha lahakel, which is a rule which generally Sfaradim follow. So this is in Yud Bet here. Under 22, and you'd bet. V'neba makom sh'rabbeinu ha'mukubalim sforim hefech data poskim. In cases where the Kabbalists go against the classical poskim, lo yotza dav v'midei machloket im yesh l'fsokim ha'mukubalim okya poskim. We get into this halachic quagmire, whether you follow the Kabbalists or whether you follow the poskim. V'yiduim data chida b'birkei Yosef, and that's what we just now learned, simen mem vav, again, what we've seen, our custom is to say it like the Ari. And he again quotes him as saying that had Rav Yosef Karo seen what the Ari wrote, he certainly would have said to say it. And the other persistent rumor that he heard that he backed down, Maran v'sofya ma v'chein ruir l'nhog, and therefore we paskin like the Ari against the Shulchan Aruch, because maybe Rav Yosef Karo backed down, and even if he didn't back down, who's Rav Yosef Karo compared to the Arizal? To lo kapri chadash, and pri chadash, right, ad kan l'shono. And now you'll see how he's going to get a little dismissive against the Birkei Yosef. V'hinif yado shenit, and he kind of lifted his hand and waved aside Rav Yosef Karo in a second time in his Sefer Tovayin. Kimaran v'shar Rabbanim lo yadu echad mimeya migadlut Rabbeinu ha'arizal. And there, now that's a much stronger quote, that Rav Yosef Karo and all the other rabbis did not even know 100th of what the Arizal knew. And therefore, this is not an even fight. It's not even a question. If it's the Arizal against Rav Yosef Karo, Yosef Karo against the Arizal, then it doesn't make a difference they're contemporaries. It doesn't make a difference they lived in the same city at the same time. That if the Arizal says something, you follow the Arizal. V'hein ba'avon nochnafshe da'arizal b'yimei Maran v'itechen shachach ki yada Maran mitami da'arizal shahayim avarech v'rechazu. And it's possible they have a chazarbo, that once he learned about the greatness of the Ari, that he himself became one of his followers and therefore would have said this bracha as well. Now that was much stronger than we've seen this before. V'nim shavachare ragon bal ha'stechemid. And also another one of the great Sephardic rabbis, the Stechemid, follows in the same direction, that the Ari is always to be followed. One does not ignore the Arizal. V'chein hagon of Yosef Chaim b'shut Rav Pe'ilim. This is the Ben Ish Chai. Right? V'dah nismach al zesmicha b'kol chocho. Right? He goes, you know, full on in on this same principle, that we follow the Ari and we will leave Rav Yosef Karo. V'chein b'sefer Ben Ish Chai. And now you can begin to understand how when Rav Adi Yosef gave shurim on the Ben Ish Chai, he can argue with it. Right? De lo amrin in Safik Baruch Lahakel, that when it comes to Safik Baruch Lahakel, which is the way the Rav Yosef Karo paskins, because he may be breaking a Torah law by saying God's name in vain. And it is in vain according to him, because not like he paskins like the Rambam, not like Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore, to say a bracha, which is not mandated to say, is a suffix bracha, and therefore it's lahaka, you don't say it, because it may be, very well be a case of saying God's name in vain. Nonetheless, kishad dat ha'arizal sheish levarich. Nonetheless, if the Arizal says to say it, then it's not a suffix anymore. There's no suffix. There's no suffix bracha lahakel. Then you say it, because that is the authority of the Arizal. Afal bishamim suffix bracha lahakel neged sferot maran, ayin sham. And we will follow the Arizal thick and thin, and that's what we do. Look also in the Rav Pe'ilim and the Ben Ish Chai. And then he's finished quoting. And Rav Adya writes, Banochi, ba'anye, and I in my poverty, my intellectual poverty, lo zachiti lavin menalei l'rabbanim hanal, how in the world all these rabbis know, umdenazu, bidat Maran, how do they all know this about Maran? She'ilu haya roa ledat Rabbeinu ha'ari haya posekein. And how do they all know that he would have been subservient to the Arizal? Where do you go make this up from? Now the answer is obvious, because they all think that the Arizal is far greater than Yosef Karo, but Rav Ovadia doesn't. V'rei im kol hakavod l'Rabbeinu ha'Arizal. Now very few people can make that statement, or not only say it, could put it in writing. I'm even afraid to read it again. For im kol hakavod l'Rabbeinu ha'Arizal, ateret berosh kol adam, anan kaimelan lo b'shamayim hi. Remember we saw before, oh no, that's not a problem, lo b'shamayim hi. So Rav Adi says, it's a problem, lo b'shamayim hi. Even if you're going to say that Arizal received it from Eliyahu HaNavi, who cares? That's not how halacha works. We don't go listening to things that came from Shemayim, came from Nevi'im. If Eliyahu HaNavi himself would have come in and said that Rav Yosef Karo is wrong, Rav Ovadia Yosef would not have paskan like Eliyahu HaNavi. He would have said, excuse me, lo b'shamayim hi. We paskan like the Beit Yosef. We follow like, we paskan like Rav Yosef Karo. She'ilu ha'yireu lo Rabbeinu Ari, aya posekein v'reim kol hakavod Rabbeinu Arizal. Right? With all the, who can say this? And who in the world said that you're going to leave all of the famous poskim and follow the Ari as if everything he says is halacha Moshe Misenai? And essentially, he's now going to argue that, excuse me, we don't listen to prophets, we don't listen to Nevi'im. Why should we listen to the Arizal? He's skipping a little bit. V'imkein af im rav guvraya v'chele de Rabbeinu Ari k'chad min kamaya. And even if you're going to say that the greatness of the Ari is like he's like one of the earlier sages, mikom makom kishesh poskim rishonim sh'om lehefech v'heim arov azlin bat arupa. Nonetheless, we follow the majority, and he's not the majority over here. And now Rav Ovadia goes on whether everything is about to say. Again, we're going to have to take it perhaps with a grain of salt. We'll see. And he now quotes something b'shem hagra. She'enu ma'amin b'kabbalat ha'ari b'chlala, she'kulu m'pi Eliyahu zal, rak ma'at mize'er m'pi Eliyahu zal. That not everything that the Arizal said came from his lessons and the revelations that he had with Eliyahu, just some of it. V'ashar mi'chachmato agdola. And the rest of what the Arizal says is based upon his own great intellect. V'ein chiyuv la'min ba. And we're not obligated to follow the Ari. V'ayin sham, and also look at what is written, shekach katav hagon of Chaim v'lo shemakdom l'sifr ditzinuta ayin sham. V'imkein, ma kol acharada hazot laniach dat kol aposkim v'kalei adinim b'nei sfarat Arizal. So why in the world is everybody getting all upset and all worked up and all frightened over here to leave the normal principle of psak and leave what the Shulchan Aruch says and leave Rav Yosef Karo just because there's a svara of the Ari. Now just notice how he's built this case. Other side is saying he receives everything from Eliyahu and is lo b'shamayim hi because there's two different sides. And he's saying the whole thing may be lo b'shamayim hi. And not only that, who said he even got it? Maybe he's making things up. And he goes, and not only that, I've written similar things about the Shrut Min HaShemayim itself, that who in the world said that we should be following it, and there is a problem of lo b'shamayim. He said, he also quotes over here another sefer, Sameach Nefesh, Shatamal Dat Achida, B'Berkei Yosef, Hanal, Sheikh Samach Umden Azuti, Ilu HaYeroa Maran Divrei Ari, Ayaposik Levarech. How in the world can you say, had he seen it, he would have said, how can you say that? Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have. V'lo chashash the Safek Brachot? Isn't he concerned about this general principle of Safek Brachot? And what did he say? No. Meaning, over here there's a fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is, how great is the Ari? Which means, according to these other Kabbalists, the Ari is that much greater. 100 times greater than Rav Yosef Karo. According to Rav Adya Yosef, no. Rav Yosef Karo is at least the equal and probably even greater than the Arizal. And he says, so therefore, like who says even that one could go and follow the Ari and ignore Yosef Karo? He then throws in, and he says, and look into Tosefet Maaserav, that the Gra didn't say this bracha. Now, it's not that clear over there. It actually may be the person who collected the Tosefet Maaseh Rav was talking about himself and was not necessarily talking about the Gra. And as I said, the various people who collected the ideas or the teachings of the Gra in the various Sidurim, they don't go that far as to say that the Gra didn't say it. Mikol makom, eino muchrach lo mashanagu ken, Al pi divrei Arizal dafka shregam achinu Ashkenazim kula mevarchim ota. Af al pi sherabba mihem einam hochim achar Torah tasod shegiel arinu Arizal. V'tzarech lomu desvirin shebekiven shuvah bracha zu berishonim halohim asmag v'brachot hoda'a umachzer vitri. David Abu Draham v'atur v'kach pasak karama v'agayin. He goes, even Ashkenazim, they're not doing it because the Ari said it. This is, they have all kinds of rishonim who say it. Meaning, why are you getting the Ari involved in all of this and saying that essentially that it's following the Ari and so on? And I'm not going to go so much further in all of this. I think I've gone enough. But what we really have seen over here, and I think it's a really good snapshot to be able to understand how some people honored the Ari to the extent, you know, in their words, 100 times greater than Yosef Karo. I know others would say, what are you talking about? How can you just push Rav Yosef Karo aside? So there are those who are understanding that Ari was such a great Kabbalist and he had traditions that he was taught by Eliyahu HaNavi, and therefore there is no way that somebody can go against the Ari. And there are others who are saying, well, the Ari is just one of other poskim. See, I think that part of the Gra's general approach against the Ari is not exactly the way that Rav Adya put it. I think, again, and this would really require going case by case, I think that part of his objection is that what the Gra does is he likes to follow whatever is in the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry, let me take that back. What the Vilna Gaon likes to follow is whatever is in the Talmud Bavli. And if the Shulchan Aruch paskins against something which is in the Bavli, or what he understands to be the conclusion of the Bavli, he'll reject the Shulchan Aruch. Which means the Gra has no problem rejecting the Shulchan Aruch, and he has no problem rejecting the Ari. Which means the Gra is not a very good way of proving one way or the other, because the Gra is not necessarily going, he's not like Rav Avadia in the way that he looks at the Beit Yosef and follows him in everything that he says, or even claims to. He follows the Talmud. So even over here, when he said to say this bracha, he said, because the Talmud says to say it. Now, the Talmud didn't say to say it, but what did the Talmud say? The Talmud says that you're for the minhag oker halacha. So in this case, the minhag is to say it. So then we say it, because the Gemara says to say it. But the Gemara, again, there was a cleverness to that, but it wasn't specifically that the Gemara said to say it. But the Gra's bottom line is you follow the Gemara. And therefore, if there's a Zohar, okay, there are a lot of people have said this. Okay, the Zohar is of Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai argued with Rabbi Yehuda, who says the halacha is like Rav Shimon, even in the Gemara. Okay, the fact that it's in the Zohar doesn't make it more authoritative. But as I said, we get a really good understanding over here, using this, you know, little example, because it's a really good example, about what ends up being the halacha. What could have been a real simple division. Ashkenazim say the bracha, that's their custom, Sfaradim don't. Why? Because it's not in the Gemara. That could have and should have been the entire discussion, until and then continue along the general approach, Safek bracha lahakel, which there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Ashkenazim would say a woman could say a bracha because there's a kiyam mitzvah involved in that. Sfaradim would say that no, if you're not chayiv to say the bracha, then it would be motzi shem shemayim l'shav. But that could have been the entire thing until one person gets up and says, no, we say it. And that's the Ari. And once he said it, then you see how many of the Sfaradim poskim, all they needed was one little point to have a sensitivity to Kabbalah. And then they say, okay, Rav Yosef Kari, you can wait outside. We follow you most of the time, but now we follow the Ari. And as far as Ravadi was concerned, that drove him crazy. How can you say such a thing? Who would have said such a thing? And then the rest of the logic becomes this wonderful circular logic. Well, even the Ari was so great that even Yosef Kar would have followed him. And maybe he did follow him. And maybe he did back down. He would have backed down. He did back down. All of that's not proven or provable as far as I can tell. And Rav Avadia is driven crazy by all of this. Who said? How can you say all of this? But as far as the ones who were saying it, they're 100% convinced. Why are they convinced? Because how could it be that Rav Yosef Kar would go against the greatest rabbi who lived during that time? And that's the Arizal. And therefore, we have this wonderful problem about who's more authoritative. Is Rav Yosef Kar more authoritative? That's the way Ravad Yosef would teach it, and that's the way that he ruled. And therefore, if he's hired as a 17-year-old to teach the Ben Ish Chai, and the Ben Ish Chai every now and again passes like the Arizal or the Zohar against the Shulchan Aruch, so then what would Ravad Yosef say? Well, Ben Ish Chai had a bad day. He's wrong. He couldn't say this. And what happened? Ravad Yosef got fired from his first job. So all people who are fired by from their first job know that so was Ravad Yosef. He was fired. But this is the point. This is what he's fired on, is because he cannot accept the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai, even though the Ben Ish Chai is the Ben Ish Chai. And even though he himself is a nice Iraqi Jew who should be found the Ben Ish Chai, no, Rav Avadia fully, absolutely embraces the Rav Yosef Karo to, you know, thick and thin, absolutely, he'll follow him. And others will say, no, Rav Yosef Karo we follow generally, except against one opinion. We'll follow him against the Ramah, we'll follow him against anyone else, but we don't follow him against the Arizal, because the Arizal was worth 100 Rav Yosef Karos. And now essentially we see why this is an impossible situation, because essentially it comes down to who had more authority. Yosef Karo has more authority, the Arizal has more authority, and that depends on who you ask and what your sensitivity is. The short answer is that Rav Yosef Karo was far more authoritative while the two of them were alive. The Arizal, and by the way, there are letters between them. And Yosef Karo treats the Arizal with great kavod. Nonetheless, the Arizal was a younger person. He was not there all that long. And most of the teachings of the Ari only get revealed subsequently when Rav Chaim Vital publishes them. So there would not have been much of a reason to believe that they actually discussed this, or it was known to Rav Yosef Karo what the Arizal thought about a host of issues. So I guess it depends on which sitter it is. I would suspect that in a Rav Avadia blessed sitter, then it's probably not there. And if it is there, it's probably there without Shem Hashem. I would assume, I'm guessing now, that if you looked in a sitter that was by, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who follows the Kabbalistic approach, I would assume that it is there. You look in a sitter which is from the Ben Ish Chai, I would assume that it is there. So now the answer is, whose sitter? There's almost nothing. No, but even if it's true, it's not just that the story could be true, it doesn't bother him. The part of what was referred to there is that the Gra, the Rav Chaim Volozhin says that the Gra also was offered to learn with various angels and was not interested. He just didn't think that they had authority. And I know the Talmud Bavli. I don't care what an angel has to say. What does it make a difference?